My name is Celeste from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And this weekend at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, Hudson Valley bands M. Geddes Gengris, Ben Sarratin, and Open Head all perform. And WGXC will have live web streams and sometimes broadcasts of those performances. And this hour, we will hear previews of those three local artists, as well as the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Waves controlled on air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network.
Saturday, June 4th, turn out for a hike with Bob Gildersleeve and Robert Titus at the North South Lake Park in Haines Falls, put on by the Mountaintop Historical Society. Historian Bob Gildersleeve and geologist Robert Titus lead a hike around the North South Lake to celebrate National Trails Day, with Gildersleeve describing the cultural history of the area and Titus sharing the geological history. This is at 9 a.m. Saturday, June 4th, and you can find out more information about this and many other local events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Round Top Productions in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Bill Williams and Ted Remsnyder report for Columbia Greene Media that Coxsackie-Athens School District went into lockout mode on June 2nd after a suspicious person was seen on school grounds. The incident began around 10:45 a.m. after a male former student drove onto school property, parked his car, and walked into the woods near the school, according to Greene County 911. Quote, when there's somebody outside of the schools that we're not sure of, we lock out until we can ascertain if there's any type of threat to anybody in the school, unquote, said Coxsackie-Athens Superintendent Randall Squire. Coxsackie Police, Greene County Sheriff's Office, and State Police were called to the school and immediately began searching the wooded area and nearby village streets in an attempt to locate the subject. The person police were looking for was found within the hour, said Coxsackie Police Chief Samuel Mento. The man was running late for a funeral, and he decided to park at the school and cut through the woods to Mansion Street in order to catch a ride. He was dressed in black because he was on his way to the memorial service being held that morning for Coxsackie Athens alumnus Lance Corporal Colby R. Lord, Mento said. Quote, there was never a threat to anybody in the school or anything like that. It was not that type of situation at all. We just wanted to be cautious and make sure what the reasoning was for why the person came to the campus, unquote, Squire said. In hindsight, Mento said the incident was a useful drill for the police officers involved. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Liz Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that the Republicans in control of the Greene County legislature are not giving consumers back their share of the gasoline tax like the state of New York and other counties, such as Dutchess County. Patrick Linger, chair of the Greene County legislature, said, and I quote, asking counties to give up the revenue they need to better the lives of residents so the state can take credit for short-term savings at the pump makes no sense on a local level. The overly aggressive state and federal policies attempting to end the use of fossil fuels without affordable energy alternatives is at fault here, and saving 25 cents on a $5 gallon of gas is like putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg. End quote. New York state legislators are giving up their 16 cents per gallon share of the gas tax, but Greene County officials will not. Delaware, Dutchess, Erie, Monroe, Putnam, Rockland, Saratoga, Schenectady, Ulster, Wayne, and Yates counties are all collecting tax only on the first $2 charged per gallon of gas and diesel. Allegheny, Broome, Cattaraugus, Chautauqua, Jefferson, Livingston, Nassau, Niagara, Oneida, Onondaga, Oswego, Suffolk, and Westchester counties will collect tax only on the first $3 per gallon of gas and diesel. Greene County will charge consumers the full amount for gas locally. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup.
Heather Bellow reports for the Berkshire Eagle that a Pittsfield man has been indicted for allegedly bilking customers in the Berkshires and across five states in a construction scam. Fred Lewis Center Jr., 40, allegedly stole more than $400,000 through false pretenses, according to a statement from Berkshire District Attorney Andrea Harrington's office. The scam allegedly took place between February 2020 and September 2021 through his company, Northern Steel Buildings and Structures, LLC. Quote, Mr. Center is accused of contracting and accepting payments for more than 40 victims across five different states to build steel structures with no intent of completing the work, unquote, the DEA said in a Facebook post. She noted that Center was first arrested and investigated by Pittsfield police before state police detectives attached to the DA's office began their probe. Among the victims was the Richmond, Massachusetts Volunteer Fire Department, which paid Center a deposit of almost $53,000 to build a steel structure, according to the statement. Harrington asked that any other potential victims contact local police or state police detectives in her office. Center's alleged victims stretch across Massachusetts, New York, Connecticut, New Hampshire, and Pennsylvania, and include multiple residents, businesses, and a church. 2019, Center was arraigned in Pittsfield for being a fugitive from justice without a warrant after he was charged with grand larceny in Columbia County. That charge was dismissed. Center's company was dissolved by court order in June 2021. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Rebecca F. Ward reports for the Times Union that New York's Cannabis Board on June 1st started passing regulations to allow retail sales of cannabis after state legislators legalized the drug last year. The new board voted for standards for drug testing facilities and to ban cartoonish branding of cannabis. Tremaine Wright, chair of the Cannabis Control Board, said the board started with these regulations to ensure recreational cannabis is labeled, packaged, and tested for safety. Wright said, and I quote, we also recognize the need to expand our cannabis laboratory testing capacity within the state to ensure we have enough third-party online and ready to properly test regulated cannabis products, end quote.
The board, for instance, mandated child-safe containers and standard warning labels on all cannabis products sold in the state. Cannabis sales are expected to begin later this year or next year when the board completes setting up all regulations. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And Steve Barnes reports for the Times Union that John DeLucy, a chef and restaurateur, on June 4th is opening the farm-to-table restaurant Merchant Social in Hudson. DeLucy has described it as being focused on Hudson Valley ingredients with an approach grounded in the simplicity of Italian home cooking. DeLucy's 20-year culinary career in New York included the Waverly Inn and King Cole Bar at the St. Regis Hotel. Merchant Social is located in the 300 block of Orange Street at City Hall Place in the space formerly occupied by Kamea, which has moved down the street. The inside space has a casual bar lounge area and a separate dining room with a rear courtyard that seats more than 70. The restaurant will be open for service Tuesday to Saturday for dinner and brunch on the weekends. In 2005, DeLucy co-founded with then Vanity Fair editor Graydon Carter the Waverly Inn in Manhattan's West Village. By 2014, he was running five restaurants that grossed $40 million annually, but a collapse soon began, according to press reports. DeLucy currently owns Ansley, a 10,000-square-foot Italian restaurant in Brooklyn, as well as the Empire Diner on 10th Avenue in Manhattan. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
The Daily Freeman reports that the Ulster County Sheriff's Office said that the Phoenicia Elementary School was locked down on June 1st. A man parked in the school parking lot and then ran towards a wooded area behind the building, barking alarm after a spat of mass shootings around the country. Brandon G. Norton, Jr., 21, of Woodstock, was arrested by Shandaugan police and charged with reckless endangerment at about 10:45 a.m. June 1st. The man running into the woods got a response from the Ulster County Sheriff's Office, Shandaugan and Olive Police, State Police, and the New York City Department of Environmental Protection Police. The school was put on lockdown during the search for Norton. Police say he had been involved in a verbal altercation with another person on Main Street in Phoenicia earlier in the day and parked in the school parking lot to hide. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Now, here is your WGXE weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Friday, showers and thunderstorms are likely. Mainly before 11 a.m., it will be mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny, with a temperature high near 75 degrees. On Friday night, it will be mostly clear, with a temperature low of around 52 degrees. And on Saturday, sunny with a high near 71 degrees. And Saturday night, mostly clear, with a temperature low of around 48 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Friday, June 3rd, tune into all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Including at 9 a.m., preview three local artists who will be performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill this weekend. We'll hear from Hudson's M. Geddes Grengris, Troy's Ben Saratin, and Kingston's Open Head on the WGXC Morning Show. 10 a.m., we'll hear from music around the world on Global Go-Go, including tracks from Nori and his Dorpa band, Maktor Gania, and Fatoumata Diawara, on Global Go-Go until noon when the Sugar Shack Jukebox takes over. That's Jared Wiggishud live from Hudson playing all sorts of funk, R&B, rock, pop, and more until 2 p.m. when it's time for the Data Cult Audio Show. At 4 p.m. we're live from Acro with the WGXC Afternoon Show, and at 6 p.m. we're live from Catskill on Main Street there, where Clubhouse Radio emits and local teens tell their stories and play their songs on the radio from 6 to 7 p.m. We've got Hudson Valley Sounds of Local Music at 8 p.m., and then we go live to the Avalon Lounge at 9 p.m. with Open Head, Sky Creature, and Hudson's Rebecca Bohr on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Saturday, June 4th, turn out for a hike with Bob Gildersleeve and Robert Titus at the North South Lake Park in Haines Falls, put on by the Mountaintop Historical Society. Historian Bob Gildersleeve and geologist Robert Titus lead a hike around the North South Lake to celebrate National Trails Day, with Gildersleeve describing the cultural history of the area and Titus sharing the geological history. This is at 9 a.m. Saturday, June 4th, and you can find out more information about this and many other local events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
You like music?
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues right here on WGXC. The show is a monthly roundup of new offerings from the worlds of psych, indie, jangle pop, experimental music, and folk, bolstered with enough classic fodder to make them stick.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Tune in to Crawl Out from the Fallout every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
How can you say no to that?
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, June 3rd. Early this morning, temperatures range from 54 degrees up in Lexington to 64 down in Germantown. Soil temperature is 64 degrees. Lingering rain heads on out of the area by 11 a.m. Temperatures reach 78 degrees by 4 p.m. and the dew point will be comfortably in the 50s. Overnight, it might feel damp as temperatures fall to 52 degrees. Coming close to the dew point in the upper 40s. Saturday is looking beautiful, high of 78, which would be feeling hot, except there will be stiff winds about with a low humidity, so it should still feel pretty comfortable. 49 degrees overnight takes us into another sunny and pleasant Sunday with a high of 74. Overnight temperatures fall to 54 degrees, then Monday, still dry, but we'll have a high of 80 degrees. Great sleeping weather this weekend. Pollen levels for today will be medium, with hickory and oak trees sticking it out while grasses begin to take over as the major local aggressors. Levels will be high on Saturday and back to medium on Sunday. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 12:12 a.m., then high tide at 6 o'clock a.m., low tide again at 1:07 p.m., then high tide once again at 7:09 p.m. Again, those are just for Friday if you happen to be listening to the rebroadcast on the weekend. But also, for you guys, I've been working on a new metric, and I'm tentatively calling it the Brigadoon Numbers. These are the times that the sandbar just off the Rip Van Winkle Bridge emerges from the water. And I'm still working on it, so if they're not perfectly accurate, don't blame me, at least just yet. Currently, it looks like 11:50 a.m. today it will happen, and then it will happen again at 12:30 p.m. on Saturday. Then it will happen again at midnight and at 1:05 p.m. on Sunday. Today's river temperature will be 72 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:11 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:17 a.m. Looking way up, we see a coronal mass ejection could pay a visit on Sunday, causing minor geomagnetic disruptions. Solar wind speed is currently 330.7 kilometers per second at 3.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 15 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 59. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Timothy Simmons of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hi, Laura Kuhn here, director of the John Cage Trust, bringing you a deep dive into the intriguing life and work of Renaissance man John Cage, celebrated composer, poet, philosopher, chess pupil of Marcel Duchamp, life partner of Merce Cunningham, macrobiotic chef, exponent of Zen, visual artist, and avid and pioneering mycologist. Tune in to All Things Cage, 7 p.m. Saturdays beginning January 2nd, for conversations with cage experts and enthusiasts from around the world, right here at Wave Farm's WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, and via the web at wavefarm.org.
Am I you or are you me?
You are a happy person, full of imaginative thoughts which pour forth constantly. Each day you feel more lovable, more interesting. You become more interested in others. You recognize and accept the friendship that people offer you, for you truly deserve it. You have a deep and sincere respect for yourself and for your personal worth to others. It is easy for you to accept the help and cooperation of others. You see their help to you as an expression of mutual friendship and understanding. You now realize that giving and receiving are two sides of a single coin. You're aware of the trust and confidence you generate in others, and it makes you feel good. You think of yourself as a warm, generous, and loving person. You easily express love and affection, and you find it easy to accept love and approval. You like yourself because you are a friendly and giving person. You accept yourself as a unique and valuable person. You're open, honest, and direct in your relations with people. You recognize that you are exceptionally talented and highly creative. This awareness makes you feel good.
Mm.
From Troy, that's Ben Saratin. The song's called Fog Rolls Out Raboon Gap from the 2021 album Cicada Waves. Saratin performs Sunday, June 5th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with M. Geddes Genghis and The Early. WGXC will have a live web stream at wgxc.org/listen or wavefarm.org/listen, where you can listen at home, tune in, or turn out to Ben Sarraton, Sunday, June 5th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
You think we don't have hearts?
Emotions ran high during a House hearing on a gun reform package. Louie Gohmert of Texas rejected claims Republicans don't care about gun violence and asserted the bills would only make violence worse. But Mondaire Jones of New York said he and other Democrats will not rest until action is taken.
If the filibuster obstructs us, we will abolish it. If the Supreme Court objects, we will expand it. And we will not rest until we have taken weapons of war out of circulation in our communities.
The legislation includes measures to raise the age to purchase a semi-automatic rifle to 21, ban new large capacity magazines, and tighten regulations on so-called ghost guns. Texas Democrat Sheila Jackson Lee was troubled when Florida Republican Greg Stube, who attended virtually, gave an impromptu presentation of his three firearms.
Then what would be lawful under this bill if this bill were to become law? It doesn't fit. So this gun would be banned.
I hope the gun is not loaded.
I'm at my house. I can do whatever I want with my guns.
In a primetime address, President Joe Biden urged Congress to pass gun reform. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi expects a vote next week, but 21 Democrats are telling leaders the measures might get better Republican support if they are considered individually. It's been 100 days since Russia invaded Ukraine, and NATO Secretary Jens Stoltenberg doesn't expect an end anytime soon.
Wars are by nature unpredictable, and therefore we just have to be prepared for the long haul, because what we see is that this war has now become a war of attrition.
In a meeting with President Biden Thursday, Stoltenberg urged continued support for Ukraine, which is roughly 20% under Russian control. OPEC says its members agreed to increase oil output to compensate for lower Russian production. The move comes ahead of President Biden's trip to Saudi Arabia this month. At a clean energy event in Tampa, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm commented on prices at the gas pump.
Things might stabilize by the end of this year, but that the price of gas is likely to remain above $4 a gallon.
The national average is $4.71 a gallon and as high as $6.21 in California. The House January 6th committee announced its first hearing will be June 9th at 8 p.m. The primetime meeting is expected to feature previously unseen materials documenting the attack at the U.S. Capitol, witness testimony, and a summary of the events. White House COVID response coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha said the FDA will soon make a decision on COVID vaccines for infants through preschoolers, with inoculations starting as early as June 21st.
We know that many, many parents are eager to vaccinate their youngest kids.
Meanwhile, the U.S. hasn't decided whether it will answer the World Health Organization's call to pool monkeypox vaccinations as case numbers continue to rise around the world. The CDC's reported 18 cases in 9 states. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe with Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. Carl Bode reports in TechDirt that 5G streaming technology has barely been installed in the United States, and the hype for 6G technology has already begun. First, the story reports that the rollout of 5G technology in the United States has been slower than elsewhere. Even when 5G has been built out in the U.S., it is, quote, actually slower than existing 4G networks, unquote, often. On the plus side, there is no evidence that 5G causes cancer or COVID-19, as some conspiracy theorists claim. Bode writes, quote, it's pretty clear that the technology is more of a modest evolution than a revolution, and 5G hype overkill, largely driven by a desperate desire to rekindle lagging smartphone sales, is a far cry from reality, unquote. So take that all into account as you listen to corporate shills hype the 6G technology coming in 2030. Quote, by the time quantum computing is maturing for commercial applications, we're going to be talking about 6G, unquote, Nokia CEO Pekka Lundmark said. Quote, by then, 2030, definitely the smartphone as we know it today will not anymore be the most common interface, unquote. Read more about this story in TechDirt and go to wavefarm.org for more radio news.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I'm joined now by Wendy Birch, who is the executive director of NAMI of New York State. Wendy, hi.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. It always seems like in the wake of a mass atrocity, mental health gets undue attention or unusual attention. But let's just take it back a step and start with, what is NAMI? What do those letters stand for? And what does your organization stand for?
Yeah, so we're the National Alliance on Mental Illness. It's a three-tiered organization. We've got a national organization. Every state has one. And then here in New York, we have 22 local NAMI affiliates. And what we do is provide support, education, and advocacy for people living with mental health conditions and their families. And that also includes just doing outreach around mental health to sort of address the stigma. But a big part of what we do in addition to advocacy is our programs. And all of our programs, we have classes and we have support groups that are actually facilitated and taught by people who have lived experience. So our family groups and family classes are taught by people trained by NAMI who are family members of people living with mental health conditions who share their own lived experience as part of the class and the group. And the same goes for our programs for people who are living with mental health conditions. You know, they're all, like, the classes and support groups are all facilitated and taught by people who are living in recovery and have been there and can share their experiences.
And it's entirely a grassroots organization, right? It came out of experience.
It absolutely is. I mean, almost everyone who does our programs are volunteers. We're not mental health professionals. We're just people who have been there, and we have these tried and true techniques that really help. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So I do want to turn to the fact that when these mass atrocities happen, these public murders, these mass murders, inevitably, people who think it a hallmark of a free society for individuals to have the right to own military arsenals turn to a solution to the problem to say it's a mental illness problem, it's a mental health problem. We're not talking about guns, and we aren't going to talk about guns today, but how does that response in times of national trauma make it harder for NAMI to do its day-to-day work?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what people need to kind of realize is that, you know, when it comes to violent crimes, only 5% of them statistically are committed by people who have a serious mental health condition. And really, people with mental health issues, especially serious mental health conditions, are really 10 to 12 times more likely to be the victims of violence rather than the perpetrators. And so, you know, at NAMI, we have one of our programs that we do is called In Our Own Voice, where people go out and kind of share their story to sort of demystify mental illness in general, because really, you know, 1 in 4 people have a diagnosable mental health condition in any given year. And the stigma prevents them from seeking medical help. I mean, if you sprain your ankle, you're going to go to the doctor or to a medical professional and get that it seen to, or else it's just going to get worse. And it's the same when it comes to any kind of mental health condition.
In general, our society seems way more disposed to responding to an emergency effort or it happens rather than lifting a finger to do anything remotely in the way of prevention. And certainly there's no reason why 1/4 of the population at any given time, I mean, not that everything is going to swell into an enormous catastrophe, but there's treatment and care can prevent things from getting worse. When mass shootings happen, like the one in Buffalo, like the one in Texas, like the one, they seem to happen so frequently anymore. Do you get more calls? Do you get what? How does it affect NAMI?
You know, you mentioned before. I mean, I think it does increase the stigma sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, for people that are that have mental health issues. I do think that events like that are certainly very traumatic, not just to the people that it happens to closely, but, you know, when you see it from the outside. And so it does increase anxiety and oftentimes I think depression for people. And so again, you know, organizations like ours, you know, we're kind of here to sort of be a little bit of a sounding board. You know, here in New York, people have probably seen the commercials for Project Hope, where if people are struggling, you know, they can call and talk to someone. And, you know, I would say that really the pandemic, although it raised awareness around mental health issues, It also exacerbated mental health issues, and that's really where we started seeing our call volume increase.
I see. Let me ask you this. Given that there's so much political energy invested into diverting attention away from firearms and towards mental illness as the problem, the singular problem behind mass shootings, has there been any study done of the frequency of political solutions in the wake of these shootings? Like, oh, suddenly there's more funding for mental health care that there wasn't there before. What do you see?
I have not seen that personally. Again, you know, I go back to the pandemic. That is, seems to be where people have recognized that there's, you know, mental health. And there have been some great strides. You know, we're next month in July, they'll be converting the suicide lifeline to a 988 crisis line. And here in New York, they're really, you know, there's a whole team, you know, government agencies and outside agencies working together to implement this, to the fact where if someone is in crisis, you can call 988. And instead of maybe law enforcement coming out to handle it, it will be a mobile crisis team with mental health professionals and peer support, where they can assess the situation and, you know, kind of divert people to services. And the call centers themselves, the 988 call centers, will have, you know, professionals who can kind of assess and figure out like what this person might need, whether they do need immediate medical assistance, or maybe they just need someone to talk to, or a resource, you know, shared resource. So there are things that are happening now that I think show a lot of promise in getting people the help that they need.
Wow, I did not realize that. And is that now available throughout the country or throughout New York
yes,
State?
Yes, but every state is implementing it differently. So I can only speak to what New York's been doing, but you know, it could go a long way to diverting people, certainly from more dire consequences, you know, including being arrested and having to enter the criminal justice system.
Including being shot by the police if your skin doesn't happen to be white. I mean, even if it does happen to be white, the police, of course, are never equipped to be mental health emergency responders in the first place. And then a family member is absolutely torn. Someone acutely needs help. What do? You call the police, but you don't want to put your child or your relative in harm's way. So this really does represent great progress. And so, and that, what is the prefix again? 988?
It'll be 988. That would be the number that you call for a mental health or substance use crisis.
Oh, that's the number. It's like 911, only it's 988.
Yep.
Okay. This is really good news. Mental illness, of course, does inhabit individual people's heads. And in that sense, it's an individual problem. And yet, as you mentioned, there are also social effects, vast social traumas that people collectively share. And we don't really seem very well equipped as a society to handle those any better than we do the individual ones. Does NAMI take that on at all, or is it mainly addressing people with illnesses?
Well, I think, you know, and again, I go back to the pandemic, you know, once that happened, we got a lot of requests, like from businesses, for example, hey, will you give a talk about, you know, maintaining, staying mentally healthy, what can you do, especially people who are working remotely. And so, you know, in some ways, we always did do a lot of mental health in the workplace presentations, but now it's shifted a little bit to really kind of talk about maintaining mental wellness, whether it's, you know, keeping your social contacts or making sure you exercise or having a routine, especially if you're working from home. You know, it's so easy to go back to your emails at 11 o'clock at night, but no, you know, get that. And those types of reminders that people probably kind of already know, but sometimes you just need that reminder around it. So there's a lot that we've been doing in that respect. And it's not just us. I know a lot of our colleagues in the mental health field have been doing kind of the same thing, just because, you know, people are struggling. And again, you don't want to get it to a point where it's just too much for someone and people become totally overwhelmed.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, thank you for having me. And hopefully all together we can pursue mental wellness as a society.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
That was 2022 music from Hudson artist M. Geddes Gengras. The song was called Hiding Smoke from his 2022 album It Fades. And he's performing Sunday, June 5th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with The Early and Troy's Ben Saraton. And WGXC will have a live web stream at wgxc.org/listen or wavefarm.org/listen. You can tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Sunday, June 5th to hear M. Geddes Gengras, Ben Saraton, and The Early.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Interesting, boring, really, really wonderful things.
It'd be about
chocolate pigs.
She's obsessed with pigs.
Chocolate pigs?
Awesome.
The way down.
I turned it down.
Only dogs can hear.
I turned it down.
Did you hear that?
No.
That was Dead Air, a song from the 2022 album Joy and Other Sufferings from the Kingston-based band Open Head. Open Head perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on Friday, June 3rd, with Sky Creature and Hudson's Rebecca Borer. WGXC will have a live web stream and live broadcast of part of the show on 90.7 FM. Go to wavefarm.org/listen or wgxc.org/listen to listen to Open Head, Sky Creature, and Rebecca Borer Friday, June 3rd at 8 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. From the 2021 album Course in Fable, here is Riley Walker with Striking Down Your Big Premiere. And his band includes some heavyweights, including John McIntyre from Tortoise on synths and keys and vibraphone, Bill McKay on guitar and piano, Andrew Scott Young on bass, and Riley Walker himself plays guitar and sings.
Shut my mouth.